My friends, we have got to talk about Phoebe. Nope, not the Phoebe that you're probably thinking of from Friends. Remember, like the super cute, fun, quirky one? Not that one. Phoebe from the Bible. I'll give you the backstory in just a minute, but as I've been studying and learning about this chick, that's only mentioned in two verses in the Bible. Just two. She is blowing my mind. Phoebe gives us such a strong understanding of women, particularly women leaders in the church. I'm so excited to talk about her because I'm learning crazy new things and insights and questions. So you guys, let's talk about Phoebe. Let's do this. You're listening to the Leader Lab podcast, a podcast that inspires women to step up and step out in leadership to fulfill their God-given callings. My name is Andy Bruce, and I'm so passionate about helping women develop their character and understand their callings that I went out and got a doctorate in leadership. Now I'm investing in and partnering with women leaders just like you who love Jesus and raise their hand saying, God, if you're looking for someone to use, I'm right here. So let's talk about how. How do we step into what that looks like? So for me, something really cool happened, and it actually goes way back to Black Friday shopping this past Thanksgiving. So my daughter Jayla and I were in Target. It's pretty early. I don't know, it's 7:30 in the morning, and we're on like one of the back aisles in Target, and I look up and I see an old friend. Now, I've got to say, I've got so much affection and respect for this woman. Therefore, she's a friend to me. But for her, she doesn't know me great. You know what I mean? It's one of those very distant relationships where we've met a couple times. My ministry partner, Melissa, and I have done something at her church years ago. But we're like walking toward each other with our carts full of Black Friday finds. And she's like, do you remember me? And I said, yes, of course I remember you. I'm Andy. She's like, I know. Well, here's who this person is. Her name is Monica. She leads the women's ministry and women's leadership tracks at Liberty University. So I'm like, Monica, tell me what's been happening at Liberty. I think about you and the young women up there all the time. And she's like, Andy, it's crazy. She said this three times through this maybe 10-minute conversation. The program up at Liberty is blowing up. For me, my mouth totally dropped because of this. Not because I'm surprised. I know that there's value and I know that there's quality up at Liberty, particularly for ministry, leadership, and women. But here's what surprised me. It seems to me, and by the way, of course, this is only my perspective coupled with my opinion. We just came out of this several-year pandemic. What we saw across the church is numbers radically decline. So I think I saw something recently, and our pastor at my local church confirmed that this has been true for us and is pretty standard across the board. Church attendance has dropped by about two-thirds. Two-thirds. So our church is a little bit above that curve. We've got just slightly more than that, I think. But typically, two-thirds of those who were parts of a congregation have not yet, and I hope they do, come back into the local church. Well, this is true for ministries across the board, local church or just ministries. And I've been watching really closely what's been happening around women's ministry, women's leadership conferences, women's gatherings, teachings, all of those, of course, have halted because of the pandemic that you can't gather. But I've also noticed just a decline in activity and things posted and things shown and online gatherings and all those things. I mean, it's just happened, right? That's why when Monica said that they are blowing up in women's ministry leadership development at Liberty, I'm like, what? Seriously? Like, especially post-pandemic in universities, I'm just real surprised. So she's like, yep, we're blowing up there. God's just doing something. So she starts telling me anyway about what's happening. I'm like, Monica, this is what I do. Like, let me see if I could help you anywhere. Fast forward a couple months. Now it's January when her and I sit down for coffee and just meet. And she's like, Andy, what if you come and guest lecture in three different courses? And let's just see what God does. So that's the backdrop to my personal study for Phoebe. Because as she was saying, hey, you know, let's have you come do guest lecturing up there. I'm like, absolutely. She said, well, is there a woman for this particular course? I can't remember the name of the class. She's like, what we do is we look at women in the Bible and how God used them, what their gifting appears to be, what the contextual story is, but particularly leadership lessons and principles from women in scripture. Super cool class, right? So she's like, is there a woman that comes to mind for you? Well, for some reason, actually not for some reason, I had been listening to the listener's commentary that Melissa had mentioned because it gives this commentary understanding of scripture that I could just listen to. So I've been listening to that kind of casually here and there as I personally am reading through the book of Romans. Now, as I'm reading through the book of Romans, again, my jaw is just dropping. Like, this is too marvelous. This book, this letter, it's just overwhelming in the nature of it and the way that Paul unpacks and describes really foundational aspects of Christianity in a way that has me just in amazement. So I'd been listening to the listener's commentary, and on there it mentioned Phoebe. So I kind of did a very cursory preliminary Google thing on like, who is Phoebe in the Bible? So I'm looking, I'm like, oh my gosh, she's really cool. So when Monica was like, pick somebody to share when you come guest lecture, I'm like, ooh, 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 hand raise, Phoebe, let me do Phoebe. She's like, yes, I would love for you to cover Phoebe. Therefore, for about the last month or so, my nose has been in books. My mind has been wandering a lot when it comes to this woman named Phoebe. You guys, I just am thrilled to share with you because there are so many implications for us as female leaders in the church. So many. So here's our plan. We're going to spend a few minutes on this podcast right now talking about what do we know about Phoebe according to scripture. Even though there are only two verses, you guys, there's only two verses. That's it about this chick. I'm telling you, there's so much to learn. There's so much to glean from and understand. And we're going to do a little bit of inferring about Phoebe. Now, just so you know, I will do my best to be like, hey, here's what a commentary said. Here's what a commentary said. Basically, all that you're going to hear from me are a conglomeration of what many commentaries that I've been having my nose stuck in the last month. This obviously, it's not original for me. I'm getting my understanding from various commentaries, but here's the thing. Very few of them do I remember which, so I won't be like, and this blah, blah, Matthew Henry's commentary says this, and Charles Spurgeon's commentary says this. I don't know that. I'm just going to give you a conglomeration. So that's what we're going to do first. We're going to unpack what we know about Phoebe. Then I want to look at three or four really interesting words that Paul uses to describe or to refer to Phoebe as. Whoa, this is where stuff gets really juicy. I don't know about you, but I am seriously jazzed up about this because here's what we want to do. We don't want to go looking at what New York bestsellers say about leadership. Not primarily. We want to go to scripture and be like, God, will you teach me through your word, what it says about my influence, my character, my gifts, how you use people. That's where this stuff gets really good. And that's where it gets juicy and fun and applicable. So I'm all jazzed up. Let's do this. The main question I'm asking is this. Who is Phoebe? That's my preliminary, really broad introduction question to find a way to gather information. So I'm starting, picture it like a funnel or a rainbow with the top layer being the widest and then for me personally, my process is to have the widest funnel. Who is Phoebe? I mean, come on, the question doesn't get more broad than that. But eventually, as I'm collecting information and really developing a filter to understand that information, it's going to get more and more narrow, kind of like a funnel. So the top of my funnel is, who is Phoebe? And as I ask that, my intention is to get a biblical handle on this woman, Phoebe. So here's what we know. Phoebe is only mentioned in Romans 16, verses 1 and 2. That's it. There are only these two verses about her. In other words, she's not mentioned in any other book throughout all of Scripture, just Romans 16, verses 1 and 2. And this is the very last chapter in the book of Romans. So let's get some situational context about what's happening in that very last chapter. So Paul, we know he's writing the book of Romans. Here's what's fun to me. He's never before met the church in Rome. So when he's drafting this letter to them, he's never met them before. He's never visited. He didn't plant that church. He'd never gone there before, but he had heard about them. And Paul, through what he's heard about them, feels so compelled that he needs to write this letter. And this letter to this church in Rome, who he has never met before, is considered the greatest and most important book in the New Testament. Paul goes to town with theology. And about the first five or so chapters, he describes the plight of man, the nature of sin, the problem between God and man. And then he goes on to describe Christ as salvation for anyone who believes and how that happened, that, you know, Jesus took on the nature of God for us. And then he goes on, he's like, and living in the Spirit as the Holy Spirit abides in believers looks like this. And then he goes to the body of Christ and spiritual gifts. I mean, Paul just lays all of theology out right here. And what does he do with this remarkable letter? I mean, a total remarkable letter. He hands it to a woman named Phoebe. You guys, this is crazy stuff, because think about the social culture happening approximately 2,000 years ago. Women were not, they didn't have a seat at the table. Melissa was just telling me, they were not allowed to sit and eat, at least with Greek women. There was not a complementarian point of view where it's like, oh, well, here's what women are really useful as in our society. Nope, none of that was happening. So isn't this crazy that the Holy Spirit gives Paul this, really, it's like a revelation or an explanation of the revelation of Christ. And Paul writes this and hands it to a woman named Phoebe so that she could be the courier taking this letter to the church in Rome. You guys, this is crazy stuff. So already this tells us a whole lot about Paul. Situationally, perhaps it's easy to read through the New Testament, specifically Paul's letters, and consider him harsh, chauvinistic. This is sort of like what maybe it's easy to read into or to hear about Paul. But the fact that he's handing this letter to a woman named Phoebe violates those assumptions. We don't see a chauvinist. We don't see a harsh person. So let's talk about now in Romans 16 verses 1 and 2 what we see Paul write about Phoebe. Romans 16, 1 and 2. I'm going to read it. And actually, I'm going to read it a couple times just so that you can hear it a couple times, because we're going to be talking about these. So start to wrap your mind around these words. Romans 16, verses 1 through 2. This is Paul writing in the very last chapter of Romans. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a deacon of the church in Cenchrea. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of his people, and to give her any help she may need from you. For she has been the benefactor of many people, including me. I'm going to read the same verses again. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a deacon of the church in Cenchrea. I ask you to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of his people and to give her any help she may need from you. For she has been the benefactor of many people, including me. So what I'm going to do now is I'm going to just point out a couple big ideas that we see in these couple verses. Because here's the thing, it doesn't seem like much, right? We're like, okay, so our sister Phoebe, she's been helpful. Be nice to her. Let's unpack it more. Oh my goodness, I can't wait to do this. The first thing we see is this word sister. I'm pointing out this word sister because, oh my goodness, there's so much dispute about Phoebe in commentaries, especially older ones. No, that's not true. Even newer ones. There was some dispute when it comes to this because we could see, you'll see in a moment, she was really a leader doing remarkable things. I'll get there. Therefore, in the commentaries, some guys were like, Phoebe can't be a chick, a female, because look at all that she's doing in the church. You'll see in a second that she actually carried a decent amount of authority with her. So therefore, some people in the commentaries were like, it can't be a female. It must be an error that this word used in the Greek was probably the wrong one because it's a little stroke on the word. So we'll just say she's a dude. Then that will make perfect sense why she has authority, she's got leadership, and she's doing so much. We'll just make her a guy. Nope, this is not true for a couple of reasons. One, Paul used the word, it's a female word. It's not the masculine form, it's the feminine form of this word. This is intentional. Second, we know that this word Phoebe, a name, was a chick's name. It's like saying that, Jennifer, oh, we'll just call her a guy. No, Jennifer's a female name. Same is true here. So we've got a couple of things. One, her name's Phoebe. Two, she is, from all intents and purposes, a female. And three, we see this word, I commend to you our sister Phoebe. Let's talk about this word commend. This is a pretty strong word, and it's referring to putting your own stamp or seal on somebody. Like, if you think about, I'm going to use somewhat of an extreme so that you could catch the meaning. If Queen Elizabeth sent a delegate to represent her, well, that person carries a reflection of the weight and authority of Queen Elizabeth. This is like what it says here. I commend to you. It's like, you guys, I'm putting my own authority, Paul. I'm putting Paul's authority on her. So receive her just like you would receive me, Paul. That's a lot of weight that Paul is putting on a female. This whole idea, folks, that Paul's a chauvinist, just these words knock that to the ground. It doesn't hold up. Paul not only sees, by the way, side note in Romans 16, I think there were, hold on, I'm looking it up. Paul refers to a bunch of women because of how helpful they have been in Romans 16. He actually is stating that these women have a really special and important place in the ministry of the local church. And so therefore he's recognizing them. He's even rewarding their effort just through the way of acknowledgement. Paul says, greet Mary, who's worked really hard for you. That's verse 6. 9 women are mentioned in chapter 16. Phoebe, Priscilla, Mary, a woman whose name I'm going to butcher, Tryphena, Tryphosa, Persis, the mother of Rufus, who Paul says was like a mother to him, Julia, and the sister of Nereus. You guys, this idea that some would say Paul was against women, Paul was a chauvinist, Paul was treating them like the social norms of that day. No way. In fact, what I see, and I'm only inferring, so let's just be real clear about that. It seems like the way that Jesus was with women, where he recognized their value. He spoke to them face to face. He interacted with them. He served them just like those women served Paul. That was the same idea as Jesus. Jesus served those women and he allowed them to serve him back in a way that honored and was complementary toward them. So let's go back to Romans 16, verse 1 and 2. He says, I commend to you our sister Phoebe. He's saying, the same way that you would receive me in the Lord, same with Phoebe. We know she's a female. Let's go on a couple words. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a deacon. Whoa, hold on, we'll get there. A deacon of the church in Cenchrea. Let's start with this word Cenchrea. This is a location. I can tell that because it's like the church in Cenchrea, the church in Rome, the church in Ephesus. It's using that same format, so we know it's referring to a location. The other big clue is that Cenchrea has a capital C. It's a name of a city. So I was like, wow, we don't hear about Cenchrea anywhere else in the New Testament, do we? So I'm looking on commentaries and it's like, no, this is the only mention. Well, for me and my Bible knowledge, it's like, well, I guess if we're not hearing about these churches repeatedly, they must not matter much, right? If there's no other mention, it's like, oh, they're just a church in Alta Vista, a church in Simi Valley. That's my hometown. Like places that you're not going to hear about big churches. Well, let me tell you, commentaries state that Cenchrea, there is some references and other documents that floated around the church that give some hints. I didn't dig into that. Instead, what I looked at is the fact that Cenchrea has an interesting location. It's located 7 or 8 miles, fairly close, within walking distance of, the church in Corinth? Hold on, I'm going to get it. Ooh. My favorite part about that was, oof. Okay, got it. The church in Cenchrea was located approximately 7 miles south of the church in Corinth. Okay, why does that matter? Well, I'll tell you. My good friend Melissa Dunn and I, we do ministry together. We're developing this amazing thing called Bible Lab. We hope it's going to be amazing. But it's been really interesting, useful. And last semester in last fall 2022, we studied the church in Corinth. Holy Toledo, did our eyes bug out of our heads when we dug into the context and the people based off of the church in Corinth. Here's what we know. The church in Corinth was located in this really interesting, almost like the top of a strong and a long peninsula. That meant it was a port city. This port city carried massive amounts of imports and exports. It would be, I'm trying to think of a really large port. I don't know. New York has a giant port. Los Angeles, being a girl from LA, a giant port in Long Beach, because we're receiving and exporting all the ports from China, Japan, and that neck of the woods. Think the same thing here. Okay, so why does this matter when it comes to Phoebe, right? So based on her location, so think this, Corinth up at the top of this peninsula, come down a couple miles, and there is Cenchrea. That's where Phoebe's from. Cenchrea does a whole lot of the business side of the work of the port city located up there. Makes sense? So the port city, Corinth, is sending and receiving ships and goods and getting them out, and there's a whole lot of ruckus. Because think of the type of labor, the type of people that would do the hard labor up in Corinth. Well, you come down a couple notches to Cenchrea, who's still right next to it. That's where the business side of the work took place. So most or all the commentaries that I personally looked in did not dispute the fact that most likely Phoebe was a businesswoman. Okay, hold the phone here, folks. We've got a woman. A woman. We know that. We already talked about she is a female who is a business leader and one of the most happening places at that time. She's dealing with finances. She's probably dealing with the laborers who are in the port city, those who are either receiving the exports or importing the imports. This is like a big deal because she's the go-between. She, and we know this because where she hooks up with, nix that. She does not hook up with Paul, my friends. Woo! Thank you, Lord, for catching that one. Where she is in contact with Paul, thank you, Lord, when she receives this letter in Rome. Okay, I'm going to bounce around for a little bit. She meets up with Paul in Rome. Let's see if I could verbally put all these locations in. We've got three locations. First, where Paul is when he's writing Rome, he is in the city of Corinth. Okay, so picture Corinth, if you can. Paul's in Corinth writing this letter to Rome. That's where he's in contact with Phoebe. Remember, Phoebe's just about 7 miles south of Corinth, so it makes sense that they knew each other. Now, Paul gives this letter to Phoebe. Friends, this letter has all the goods. It's probably some commentaries, and I'm not saying it is, I'm not saying it is, I'm not trying to hierarchy scripture, but some would say it's this letter, Romans, is the most important document in the New Testament because it fully lays out the theology of Christ coming and what that meant. Not only that, but it also lays out the doctrine of no longer only the Jews being God's people, but instead Jews and Gentiles alike. This was mind-blowing. And what does Paul do with this letter? He puts it in the hands of our friend Phoebe, a female businesswoman who, friends, if Paul did not see Phoebe as a colleague, a leader, and extremely competent and trustworthy, he would never, ever in his wildest dreams put this letter in the hands of this chick. It'd be like this, me putting a check for $1 million, or I don't have $1 million in my savings account or in our 401k, not even close, but that amount into a random person's hands at Walmart being like, hey, can you take this to my family in California? It would never, ever, ever happen. I wouldn't entrust something valuable to somebody who I didn't feel is competent. This is the same thing that we see with Paul giving this letter to Phoebe, a woman, a business leader. So they knew each other because she's near Corinth. He's writing this letter to Rome from Corinth. Guess how many miles away Phoebe has to travel to take this letter to Rome? Oh my goodness, I wish you in person. 765 miles. 765 miles for her to take this letter from Corinth all the way in her travelings because she's a businesswoman to Rome, most likely because she's doing her own business work about imports or exports, whatever side she was on. This is the consensus because of her location and because of this really interesting word that we see at the end of verse 2, where it says that Phoebe is in fact a benefactor. Think about that. A benefactor. What does that mean? Easy. She was financially loaded. I love what it says. Oh, I just love it. Paul kind of even refers to this in a, apparently, I do not even have any remote part of skill set so that I could look at this in the Greek. I don't know Greek. But commentaries that can look at the Greek, theologians out there, they said that actually this last little phrase that Paul uses, it says this, for she has been the benefactor of many people, including me. Paul says there's a little, or I'm sorry, commentaries say there's a little bit of tongue in cheek here, like me. She gave lots of money to me. She probably supported him in his ministry the same way that women supported Jesus financially in his ministry. So this is so interesting that Paul is placing this letter, one of the most important pieces of scripture that we have, and puts it in the hands of a woman so that she, a businesswoman, can travel about 765 miles to Rome to deliver this letter to the Roman church. Friends, we've got so much talking to do about this stuff because there are remarkable insights and inferences we could pull. Before I get there, let me see if there's anything else. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a deacon, a deacon of the church in Cenchrea. I ask you to receive her in a manner worthy of the Lord's people. Why would Paul say, hey, please receive her? Hey, when she gets to you, I commend you with all my authority, Paul. And I put that,
I'm not sure I understand.
Hush. And I put that on Phoebe. And he says, I ask you, church in Rome, to receive her in the Lord in a way worthy of his people and to give her any help she may need from you. I don't know about you, but this sounds slightly fishy. If a woman is coming, a woman in these days, a woman did not deal with men. A woman did not do much business dealings. That would be an anomaly, to say the least. And here she comes with this type of letter from Paul, whom they didn't know, but they probably heard of. Why would Paul say this? Most likely the answer is because he can assume that this church would not receive a woman. They would not receive a woman carrying this kind of letter. And therefore, like probably all or most did in this cultural time, set her aside because, oh my goodness, are you ready for this? Paul probably, I mean, we can conclude, right, that Paul probably shared the contents of this letter with her and the weight of the importance of this letter. But she's a woman. She's going to travel all by herself, perhaps alone, or at least it does not seem, from these two verses, it does not seem that she has a husband. We don't know that, but it's interesting because otherwise, probably, perhaps, Paul would have given that letter to the husband or at least mentioned, hey, receive Phoebe and Philippi, whatever. Instead, she seems to be, perhaps, a single woman. What he could assume or anticipate this church would do is downgrade her authority and perhaps the authority of the letter simply because a woman's hands were on it. And instead he says, I'm putting all my authority on Phoebe so that you could receive what God has to say to you. And most likely he shared the contents of this letter with Phoebe. And because of her position at the church in Cenchrea, which we could assume she was a leader because of his relationship with Phoebe, he probably would have asked her to explain, or dare I say, to teach through this letter. Melissa was telling me that often when somebody came with the letter, they would unpack it. They would read it and then pause and unpack, dissect, describe, explain, converse about the contents, and then read the next section, converse, dialogue, explain the contents that were just read, and on through until the finishing of the letter. Which, think about this, it makes sense because think about how long Romans is. It's 16 long and meaty chapters. It would be most appropriate for anybody to do that type of delivery with this letter, and it would seem that Phoebe is the girl for the job. Isn't this remarkable? So if you've had this concept that Paul and maybe even God are chauvinistic against women, this blows that theory out of the water. It doesn't exist. It's not possible. You can't be a chauvinist and entrust the book of Romans to a woman who you expect to go also not just read it to the church, but deliver it with teaching to the church. It doesn't, those two things don't exist peacefully. So now I want to talk just about a couple little words because they're awesome. Okay, there were four Greek words I wanted to talk about. We've already talked about two of them. The first was the fact, sister, I commend to you my sister Phoebe. We know she's female. We covered that base. The second one was that word commend, where Paul's authority is put on Phoebe so that the church will receive Phoebe just like they would have Paul. Those were the two words I want to cover. That means we've got two words left. The first one is this word diakonos. Diakonos. This is where it says Phoebe is a deacon. Let me read it to you exactly. It says, let's see. I commend to you my sister Phoebe, a deacon of the church in Cenchrea. This is why we know that Phoebe had real leadership in the church in Cenchrea. So let's talk about this word diakonos. Now, in lots of ways, this word was considered a servant. Some ways to look at it would even be like a household servant. This is actually where we get the word doulos, which means a real servant. Like your role, your identity is a servant. But that's not what this is referring to, although it has that undertone in it. So this word diakonos, which comes from the word doulos, servant, certainly keeps that as an undertone, but it doesn't stop there. In fact, this word diakonos means that there is a ministry of service. In Romans 15, verse 8, Paul uses this word diakonos to describe Christ's ministry. And it says, for I tell you that Christ has become a servant, diakonos, of the Jews on behalf of God's truth. Now, this isn't referring to just a household servant. Certainly not. Christ did not come to be a household servant. It says Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth. Neither is this just referring to like, hey, be a servant, be a bond servant of Christ. That's not what this is saying. Instead, this word used in Romans 15, verse 8, refers to Christ as the one chosen by God as a servant to carry out a very formal ministry. See the difference? Now, what's really cool is that Paul uses that word, diakonos, in Romans 15, verse 8, to describe Christ. It can't be coincidental. It can't be coincidental that just a few verses later in Romans 16, verse 1, Paul refers to Phoebe as diakonos, essentially equating her to the same service that Christ had. Now, what's also interesting to me is that Paul uses that same phrase to describe other men. Let me give you some examples. He says, I'm looking at ministrymagazine.org. This has been the best resource on this, where it actually breaks down the meaning with what it and ties it to Phoebe specifically. So here it says, Paul's calling Phoebe a deacon, because that word diakonos is what we use as deacon, which means absolutely a servant of the church with an apostolic pastoral ministry of leadership within that church. Therefore, we have the word deacon. Makes sense, right? He says, Paul calling Phoebe a deacon appears to make her ministry as equally important and valid as that of other early church leaders, such as Tychicus, which in Ephesians 6:21 uses the same word to Tychicus of diakonos. Epaphras in Colossians 1:7, where it says Epaphras a diakonos, meaning an early apostolic church leader that is undergirded by this idea of a servant, but with authority. And for Timothy in 1 Timothy 4:6, this tells us that Paul is not just throwing around this word. He uses it for three other church leaders, Tychicus, Epaphras, Timothy, and now Phoebe. Now it's for Phoebe. This tells us that Phoebe, in the church of Cenchrea, she was a leader. We know that Tychicus, Epaphras, and Timothy were teachers. In fact, they were exhorted by Paul like to teach the word without error and with boldness, even in the face of suffering. That is a huge eye-opener for us when it comes to Phoebe, a leader in the church, that Paul saw her as a colleague. That's why he commends her. That's why he's calling her diakonos, a deacon, a servant with God-given authority of a ministry to lead and teach others. Oh, my friends, this is exciting for us, especially in an age where I don't think it's wrong, but I don't think it's maybe appropriate that we as women have been afraid, for whatever reason, to lead in the way that God's called us to. I am not referring whatsoever to usurping the authority that God's given man. I love complementarianism in the church. I bleed complementarianism. What that refers to is God placing men as authorities for us in the church. I think it's in 2 Corinthians that it says, why should women submit to men? Because God made man first. There is a creation order. God made man first, giving them this authority, this placement of protection, of covering, of the headship of Christ over women. It is a blessing because of those reasons, for protection, for headship, for covering, that men have that place. They will be judged and held accountable for how they lead us as women, both in our homes and in the local church. I got to tell you, as much as I'm a strong woman who wants to lead, teach, cast vision, and go first, not in this case. Let the guys take the fall. Let them stand as responsible for what they did, not me. That's fine by me. And this is creation order in its full effect. But what it does mean for women is that Phoebe shows us women absolutely have leadership, and those other nine women or other eight women that Paul mentions in just Romans 16, not to mention the other places toward the end of letters where he's saying, hey, and that woman and that one and that woman, they were co-laborers with me in this ministry. But what Phoebe has really opened my eyes to is the fact that not only me, but I see it around me. It's like us women, somewhere along the line, we've lost our confidence when it comes to leadership. And what I see in Phoebe is, although we don't hear from her except for these at all, just what Paul writes about her, but even though we don't know where Phoebe stood with her own confidence in her calling as a diakonos, as a benefactor, as one who's commended, we do know that Paul had full confidence in her. Full and unwavering confidence that when he said, I commend you as a diakonos, listen to her, treat her well, receive her the same way that you would receive me. This expresses such confidence in a woman. And my question for us is, why then can we, who fully love to talk about our calling, who love to dabble in the area of leadership, why are we struggling to accept and live in the leadership that God has given us? Because I would say it's not only Phoebe that is a diakonos. I am a diakonos, and I dare say you are a diakonos, one who has been appointed by God through calling to be a minister within the church in a way that has function, that has a role. I didn't say title. I said a role of being a diakonos, one who knows what God's called them to and is moving toward it, who's doing it, who's not backing down, who's not waiting to be asked, who's not waiting to be given a title. It is time for women to act like a diakonos instead of being like, well, don't call me leader. I'm uncomfortable with that word. My friends, who cares? That has nothing to do with your calling. But I might say for you in your heart and in your mind, maybe it has everything to do with your calling. And maybe this avoidance of the word leader is the thing that is causing you to be, I don't know, think of yourself as not qualified. Christ has fully qualified you in the same way that he fully qualified Phoebe. So that's my takeaway for this, is Paul commended a woman. I think women really struggle with commending themselves and moving into what God has for them. There's one more. You know what? I think we'll stop there. So next time that we come together, I'm going to walk through, I can't wait for this, 10 ways as a female woman leader, a diakonos, to interact with men. Oh my goodness, I can't wait for it. I can't wait. Okay, friends, hope this was helpful. Hope it's useful for you. Can't wait to talk to you about it next week.